Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on the line once again by Colin Connors. To recap, the Raptors' first win in Summer League. Look, the results don't matter, but I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, we're Raptors fans, so we'd like to see a victory, all things being equal. And the Raptors took down the New York Knicks by a score of 85-73. Right before this, we were talking about how the Knicks' promising core, it was on full display. We got Kevin Knox, we got Mitchell Robinson, RJ Barrett, even Iggy Brazdeikis. Like, these are the guys that the Knicks are counting on, and wow, that's going to be a couple more years for until the Knicks sniff the playoffs.
Yeah, you know how they always have that saying that the unknown is better than what's to come? If the Knicks actually do have any idea, like any plans of possibly trading some of these guys, I'd probably do it quick. Like, not RJ. Like, I think RJ's got a lot of potential, and I like Mitchell Robinson. But, like, Kevin Knox, holy. Like, coming off one of the worst rookie seasons in NBA history, like, if he doesn't have some Gary Harris-type second-year turnaround, I would try to move him quick.
Yeah, and it was funny because the broadcast with Steve Smith and Rick Kamla kept trying to talk up the way Kevin Knox is playing. And occasionally, I was like, okay, he's making some decent moves. But then I look at the box score right now. 3 of 15 from the field. 1 of 8 from 3. I mean, woof. This is a tough look if you are a Knicks fan, because the Raptors are putting out the 905 club. In fact, this might be even less than what the Raptors usually put out for the 905. And the Raptors kind of just comfortably had this game the whole way. The Knicks, early on defensively, they were a little bit more compact. But in the second quarter, the Knicks only scored 11 points. And they shot 1 of 13 from the field for the entire quarter. Meanwhile, the Raptors scored 28 points. So, game got blown wide open right there. And the Raptors looked really good. I guess the caveat here is that the Knicks are just really that bad. I mean, even basic elementary plays. Like, the number of times they just threw the ball out of bounds for no reason. Like, I just couldn't believe that this was a professional team. But let's focus on the Raptors. I thought, you know, before we go on to the more important guys, I thought one guy that we were really hard on in last night's podcast was Malcolm Miller, who had, you know, a pretty uninspiring first two games. Thought he bounced back tremendously tonight, and he was very impressive. What do you think of Malcolm?
Yeah, I completely agree. He started the game kind of rough. He was short on his first couple threes. He got, like, one really bad turnover forcing it. But he defended RJ, like, fairly well. Like, I know RJ wasn't as inefficient as past games, but his length really bothered him. And it wasn't even his shooting that really brought him into the game. He made one three that kind of got him going a bit, but he was actually making plays off the bounce. He was using his pump fake. He's got, like, a perfect NBA body. He's, like, 6'8 with his long wingspan and, like, decent athleticism, but he never goes to the rim. Like, I remember in the game against the Warriors in the first game of Summer League, he, like, flared out in a two-on-one for a three in transition. Whereas, like, today he was running to the rim more often and, like, filling the lane and things like that. Like, with his guarantee date is, I think, in, like, a week or two. So I'm thankful that he finally snapped out of it, because he's got to show something these next few weeks if he wants to earn a spot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I thought today, you know, it's interesting because, yes, he is definitely a three-point shooter, and I think if he's going to make it in the NBA, he's got to be a 3-and-D guy. Also, Malcolm's 26, so, like, you know, it's getting to that time where, you know, you got to really show at a consistent level. But I've thought, honestly, throughout Summer League, the best times where he's looked is when he's actually put the ball on the deck and attacked the basket. And, you know, it's not like he has any sort of elite athleticism or some sort of crazy finishing ability. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's 6'8". He moves decently well. Like, if he can mix in a couple of those. I thought, honestly, the way he got himself going tonight was just making a couple of hustle plays. I thought he broke up a pass in the middle. And early on, you know, just was more physical, more aggressive in terms of with his defense. And I think that kind of helped him on the offensive end as well. I'm just happy for him, though, that he could have this bounce-back performance, because, honestly, the first two games were really poor. I thought the best player tonight, as sort of has been the case throughout the entire summer league has been Chris Boucher, who he looks really, really good. And it's not just the fact that, you know, he gets a lot of points through hustle. And, you know, I don't think those same opportunities necessarily exist in the next level with bigger guys and more disciplined style of play. But we're seeing Boucher bring the ball up a lot. And there's even one play where it was almost like he was running like a baseline action, like Rip Hamilton. And he like popped for like a long two and he drained it.
He took a 2-for-1 pull up three.
Yeah. I'm really impressed with Boucher. What are you seeing from Boucher that, you know, might honestly translate to, you know, an NBA level?
I know we've been harping on the Pascal comparison a ton, but his energy level was right there from the jump today. Like yesterday, it took about to the second half for him to start affecting the game in the ways that he knows how. But today, right off the bat, he was running the lane. Jordan Lloyd found him for like a couple rim runs where he got fouled early on. Him and Jordan Lloyd, like, you can tell they played a whole season together in the 905 because their pick and roll chemistry is great. If Boucher can replicate that with like Freddie and Lowry, who will honestly make it even a bit easier for him, like he can be like a very good pick and roll player like this upcoming season for sure. And like hit just like the radius on his, the way he contests anything around the rim, like he only finished with 2 blocks today, but he probably altered like 10 plus shots. Like every time RJ went to the rim, he was very wary of Boucher being nearby. And like even Mitchell Robinson couldn't really get his touch going today. Like, I know this is a very, like, every time we watch Boucher, he's got, like, a 45% usage because it's either in garbage time in the G League or Summer League. But, yeah. Like, so there's a lot there to be a very high-quality, low-usage role player. And, like, he's got all the tools, and he's 26. Like, once he starts to, like, kind of, like, remember early last Summer League, he was, like, tripping over his feet a bit. He's really coming into his coordination, like, just kind of becoming a much better athlete because he was such, like, late to the game. I think he didn't pick it up till like, 18 or something like that. So his developmental curve, like, there might, even though he's 26, there might even be, like, more upside here. Like, I think he's going to contribute a lot this year.
Yeah. And, you know, he's already proven everything at the G League level. So it's really just about whether he can translate and make that next step. But, I mean, these small things in this game are interesting. Like, the fact that he's, you know, to your point about his coordination, like, I don't remember him bringing the ball up the floor that much. Like, the Raptors actually make a concerted effort of having him dribble the ball, bring it past half court, and then start initiating the set. Like, it's not like he's the point guard. Like, this is not like a Ben Simmons situation, but I don't know. I just never seen him handle the ball that much. And the rest of the game, we kind of know that he has. One thing I was a little bit impressed by with him, it was just that he got a couple of possessions there where he was guarding the three, who I guess for the Knicks, the three today was Kevin Knox. It depends on if you want to say Knox or Iggy was the four. Kind of interchangeable, the two positions there. But, you know, Boucher got a couple of possessions guarding Knox, and I don't think he was out of place at all, you know. So I really just think that, you know, if Boucher can just somehow, I know people have been saying this for a couple of years, but if he can just somehow add a bit more bulk to that frame, he's very intriguing. And I think out of all the guys here, Boucher is, you know, heads and shoulders better than everyone else. I thought, you know, even the fact that Hernandez shot 5 of 17, which surprised me a little bit looking at the box score here, I thought this was Hernandez's best game in the three summer league games as well. He had a couple of very impressive, just like athleticism type of plays where, you know, one where he's battling for a rebound off a free throw with Mitchell Robinson, beats him with a swim move, and then like really elevates and gets two hands on the ball, and it's a very emphatic finish. He has another alley-oop finish a couple minutes later, and then hits a three towards the end of the game. There's just a couple of moments tonight where I looked at Hernandez and I said, okay, all right, I can kind of see what's going on here. Like, he, you know, he has the makings of an NBA player, even though he's the 59th pick. I think he's pretty decent. What are you seeing from Hernandez?
Yeah, I completely agree. The upside for 59th pick is way higher than you'd expect. Like, the like, I completely agree. He jumped off the screen with some of his athleticism plays today. Like, I did not expect with his frame that he could kind of get off the ground that quick. His second jump surprisingly well. Like, his second jump is surprisingly quick twitch. Like, Mitchell Robinson is known for having one of the quickest ones in the league, and he was right there with them a number of times. If he can, like, figure out his shot selection a bit more, which you can kind of give him a little bit of a leeway with that because he hasn't played in about a year. But it's like,
he's got the Deion Waiters shot selection, man.
He keeps taking some, like, 1-2 righty hooks that he tries to bank in over like a sweeping hook type of thing that he keeps missing. But like if he can like learn to play like a more conservative role, which is obviously something that they'll develop throughout the year in the 905, if that's the route they take, he can definitely be a contributor within like a year or two, which is, you know, that's like Masai's thing, is he finds these diamonds in the rough. And if anyone's going to find someone at 59, it's Masai.
Yeah. And again, Hernandez is the case where the reason he's 59th was because of the scandal. And then, mm-hmm. you know, he just doesn't play for a while. He also changed his name to his mom's maiden name as well. So, I mean, it's just, you know, there's something here for sure. You know, the one thing that you said yesterday on the pod has kind of stuck with me is just he does look like a guy who is just sort of out of rhythm. You know, in terms of his sense for the game sometimes. And I feel like he's sort of gradually, you know, settling a little bit more. Thought he was a little bit more steady on his post-ups today, for example. I mean, he got fouled on a couple of those, but he was there. And again, it's mostly just like the athleticism type of, you know, big man stuff. Like, you wanted the fact that he got 11 rebounds in 25 minutes against a Knicks team that had a pretty decent front court out there is pretty good. And the fact that he got 5 offensive rebounds, he definitely scraps. He definitely fights down low. And the one thing that's also really impressive is just how quickly he changes into the floor. Like, for a big man, he's down there in 3 seconds, like, just, you know, from rim to rim. So he's quick. He's a moving target. And again, if he can just sort of find his timing and his rhythm and his footwork has been a little sloppy. Again, that's something that if you don't play for a while, I'm sure your footwork is not going to be the same as it would be if you had played a whole college season. And so, you know, these are things that obviously he has to work on, but you know, the makings of an NBA player are there. Jordan Lloyd, in terms of just point play, I thought his point play tonight was a lot better than the first couple of games. He finished his night with 8 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Didn't look for a shot nearly as much as he did last night, where he took 24 shots. He only had 7. I like this type of style from Lloyd because I think he can create at this level for himself. But it is really imperative for him, especially, you know, in transition, stuff like that, to find everybody, set the tone, set the pace for the team. And I just, you know, I was very, very happy with Lloyd tonight. What do you think of Lloyd?
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, especially with the signing of Terrence Davis, in terms of, like, scoring guards and combo guards, there's not really a void for that in the roster anymore. And, like, for him to make the roster and actually contribute on this two-way contract this year, he's obviously got to, you know, be that third point guard. And he showed today, like, what he can really do with that. Like, a term I love about Summer League is the quadruple A players. As, like, a scorer, Jordan Lloyd is a quadruple A player because, like, it's stuff that doesn't translate to the major leagues, but it's too good for triple A. Like, he could get 25 in a sleep in a G League game, but he probably couldn't score efficiently in the NBA based on his size, frame, his release point's kind of low. But for him to be, like, a spot-up guy, like a low-usage point guard, he had some great headman passes today. He threw a bunch of, like, really incredible, like, hook passes, like, around the around defenders to find a couple guys in the corner. Like, for him to be an NBA player, he's obviously got to be a point guard. And today was a step in the right direction for that, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I wouldn't say anyone else on the Raptors necessarily stood out. I thought Darius Thompson had a couple of nice moments. And, you know, I guess Jordan Varnado as well. But, I mean, ultimately, those are not guys that are going to factor too much into it. So let's actually just look ahead to the Knicks side of it, because they have a couple of interesting Canadians on the roster. RJ Barrett, obviously, being the number one point of interest there. Barrett, I was a little leery with the way he started the game. You know, it looked like he wasn't really able to impact. But then when he really sort of puts his head down and gets to the rim, I don't think it's necessarily that efficient of a style of play. But he has a scoring touch for sure. Like, he can just really put his head down and get to the rim and finish. You know, mostly, obviously, he's very, very strongly leaning towards his left hand. He really wants to go there. But, you know, he had a couple right-handed finishes later in the game as well. And I like his game. Overall, I thought RJ Barrett was the best Nick by, you know, a fair margin. He finished with 17 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. I don't want the Knicks to be good because it's actually just hilarious to the Raptors get 4 free wins every year playing that team. But I'm rooting for RJ personally.
Yeah, I agree. I have a teammate, an old teammate that used to play with RJ, and I've heard nothing but good things about him as, like, a guy that works and, like, really approaches the game the right way. And from what I've heard, he's actually, like, in the process of changing his jump shot this summer. Okay. So I'm kind of giving him a bit of, like, a grain of salt. Like, he's working with Drew Hanlon, and they posted a few videos of them, like, changing it, tweaking it a bit, which, like, you kind of got to give him a bit of leeway when he throws up an air ball or something like that, because the muscle memory is obviously not there as much as it would be. Right, but I completely agree with what you're saying about, like, once he gets downhill, he is dangerous. Like, mm-hmm. I remember Daryl Morey said when they decided to kind of, like, make the move on Harden, because they thought the Thunder weren't using him nearly as well as they could be, like, going downhill. And you see what they do with Harden now. It's just, like, pick and rolls going to his left every time so he can get to his downhill. if the Knicks can like find a way to like, you know, minimize his, because like there's obviously a lot of weaknesses in his game as of now, but if they can, you know, tailor their offense to try and get him going downhill to his left hand a lot, whether that be pick and roll or just, you know, dribble handoffs or whatnot, I think he can definitely have a really successful rookie year.
Yeah, yeah, and he has a lot of other tools. Like, this is not a one-dimensional type of score where, like a Wiggins type, where, you know, if he's not scoring efficiently, he's not really being a positive on the floor. Like, Barrett today, I mean, I thought he was a factor on the glass with 10 defensive rebounds. His passing is pretty good. You know, I think, obviously, you know, six assists. I'm not really necessarily looking at the assists so much as I'm looking at sort of the vision, and he sort of knows where he can get to on the floor and how the defense is going to react to that. And that's just like a sense that you kind of have as a, you know, as a, I guess what he would be like a small forward in the league. Like, if he can be that sort of playmaking small forward, that's a very valuable asset. And again, you know, he's obviously got to get that 3-point shot down. He's got to get the jumper, just even mid range shot. Like, you just get that down pat and go from there. But I like RJ's approach, and even Iggy today, there were some possessions where I'm like, I don't really know. He doesn't necessarily look like he's like at this level in terms of athleticism, but I don't know if it's just because he has the Lithuanian heritage, but for some reason it reminded me of Raptors Linus Klaza. You know, like, maybe that's not a positive. I don't know. Raptors Linus Klaza was not very good, but yeah, I mean, he's got a big body. He scraps hard. He competes. He plays both ends, and I guess theoretically he can shoot. The jumper looks good. He's just had a couple bad misses today. Your thoughts on Iggy?
Yeah, I'm really high on Iggy. I actually have the same trainer as Iggy. Okay. And from what I've heard, he's like I don't know if you watched the last game where it was him with basically this exact same roster, but also Alonzo Trier. But he put up the most shots, and he's the one that dropped 30 and got them like back in the game and stuff like that. He's like that mindset where his – no matter when he steps on the court, he kind of thinks he's an alpha. Like, even where he's like far and away the lowest drafted and touted guy amongst like basically the Knicks young core, and he's the one putting up, like, he got a 3-year contract off of how well he played from that game. So good on him. But I think there's definitely a future there for him in the NBA. I think he's going to improve. He's fairly versatile. He can play like, you know, 2 through 4, he can shoot it. Yep. He can handle it a bit. Like, I don't think he's, you know, going to contribute a ton right away. But in terms of like the 47th pick, like, you can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah. You got a new Mario Hezonja. Doesn't have the same athleticism. Doesn't have the same leap as the Hezonja. But no, I like Diggy's game. Honestly, I like some of these Knicks pieces. I just wish I don't know. I just wish they didn't all have to play together, because it doesn't seem like it necessarily fits a bigger picture. And just based on the results today, like them losing by 12 to the Raptors 905 is not necessarily encouraging. But hey, it is what it is. You know, the Knicks are at the very bottom, and you know, you just got to hope some of these guys really pan out and save the franchise. Three stars. I will go with Boucher, number one, 23 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, 2 blocks, 7 of 14 from the field, 2 threes, 7-8 from the free throw line. Who are the second and third stars?
I'd say Malcolm Miller, too. Because yep. That was, you know, the most complete game I've probably seen him play in the last 2 years, even though he didn't shoot that well. And then, as much as I want to go Hernandez, 5 for 17 is pretty rough, so I've kind of got to go with Jordan Lloyd, because he just played like, you know, a great steady game today, and he only finished with 7 assists, but I'm pretty sure he got guys like, you know, going to the rim who got fouled like 3 or 4 times, so he could have, you know, racked up a double digit assist game. And I've been really impressed with his defense. He came in averaging almost 5 steals a game, got 3 more today. He's not like spectacular on ball because he's a bit of like a, you know, a smaller frame, but he's got good anticipation skills off the ball, and I've been thoroughly impressed with him like throughout summer league, despite his, you know, rough moments here and there.
Yeah. And then in terms of the Gerald Henderson,
I guess Tyler Kavanaugh, because you can't really name one of the Knicks' like core pieces as Gerald Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with Tyler Kavanaugh. I think he was on the Hawks a couple years ago, maybe.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, him and Josh Majette running the Bud system.
Yeah,
and then Bud got the hell out of there because he was running the Bud system with Kavanaugh and Majette. So, Kavanaugh. A quick shout out to Mitchell Robinson, by the way. The man had 5 fouls in the first 9 minutes, and it was like it's 12 minutes had elapsed in the game, which is about a quarter on a 1.25 in summer league. And yeah, this guy, he has athleticism. He can definitely finish, but this man, he just has to stop fouling. Like, it was such a big problem for him as a rookie, and like, how could you commit 5 fouls in 9 minutes is just beyond me. But yeah, that's the Knicks. Colin, thank you. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. Will you be around Thursday for Thursday's game?
Unfortunately not. I'm going to be on vacation taking my basketball detox for the summer next week.
Well, enjoy. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
No problem.
You can find, plug yourself. Where are people finding you and your work? And also, where are you playing ball? Let people know, man.
I'm playing ball at Ryerson next year. I'm going in as a grad transfer from Waterloo. I think we're going to have a pretty good team with the new coach.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Coach Kuzorian just left for the NBA, Borko Popic, who's really good. And then my writing, you can find me at ColinConnors4 on Twitter. I write for Raptors Republic and then at The Dream Shake, which is a Houston Rockets site as well. So I just put all my work on there.
There you go. All right. Best of luck, man. And enjoy vacation.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.